to see you out this evening. And if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the Hebrew letter in the 8th chapter, I want to read one verse to get the thought for our study. Hebrews chapter 8 and one verse in particular, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." One thing that we must recognize is that if you are going to be a child of God, and if you're going to be pleasing to God, you must be willing to follow instructions and follow the pattern. I don't know if any of you have been with your children asked to put together some of these toy sets. But one thing I realize when my boys come to me is that if you don't follow the instructions, it's not going to look like it's supposed to look like. My boys will come with the train or something and they'll say, "Daddy, this is what it's supposed to look like." And because I think I can do it without following the instructions, it never looks like it does in the picture. And I recognize the reason it doesn't look like it should is because I've not followed instructions. I've not followed the pattern. But you know that's true in religion. You know individuals are confused today, and it's because many are not willing to follow instructions, and they're not willing to follow the pattern God has given, and thus there's confusion on every hand, and local churches do not look like the way God intended them to look. They look like things that are never intended for a local church in the eyes of God to look like. So what I want us to do is examine some things in regard to following the pattern. You remember in the book of Exodus in the 25th chapter, in the first 9 verses, that God had instructed Moses to build the tabernacle. And I need to recognize that Moses could not build it as he pleased or assume that God would not care how the tabernacle was pleased. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 8:5 said that Moses was to make all things according to the pattern shown him. God had specified that He wanted the tabernacle made a certain way. And God gave the dimensions. God, with great specific occasion, told him how to build that particular tabernacle. And I want us to recognize that Moses had to follow the pattern. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Acts, or in the book of Genesis and the 6th chapter, you remember that there God gave a pattern. God, when He was speaking to Noah, told Noah how to build the ark. And again, He was very specific in the instruction and in the pattern. Noah had to follow the pattern. Noah had to build the ark according to the instruction God gave, or the ark would not be as God had dictated. And thus the ark would not save Noah, and the ark would not save his family. So I need to recognize that God is a God of order. That God is a God who gives a pattern. He is a God that gives instruction. And as people that want to be His children, I need to follow His instruction. I need to follow the pattern. So when it comes to a local church, we need to stop and consider, what is the pattern? There are many people today that are wanting to build something that Jesus did not build. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church." Now He has given us an instruction. He has given us a pattern that we should follow, that we could be pleasing to Him. And I need to understand that that pattern is given to me in the Holy Word. Tonight, I don't need to turn to a creed that a man has written. I don't need to go to a catechism. I don't need to listen to the counsel of man. What I need to do is take God's pattern, God's book, God's instruction. And then I can follow God as He so desires. If you take your Bible in the Hebrew letter, notice with me chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, if you will, in verses 1 and 2, notice that this divine record states, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. I need to recognize that today I have the words of Christ. I am under the pattern of Christ. I am under the grace of God and in Christ. And here Jesus has given us all the words we need to be what God wants us to be. He left that a pattern. He left us an example, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2, that we should follow in His steps. Now then, if you take your Bible, notice 2 Timothy chapter 2, or 3, excuse me. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice when Paul was writing to the young evangelist Timothy, that he says something in verse 16. He says, all Scripture, and I have that underscored in my Bible, all God's Word is what? Given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's perfect. It gives a perfect pattern. Now, we're no longer under the old covenant, as Paul says in Colossians 2:14, but we understand that God has left us a pattern that we should follow in the footsteps of Jesus, that we should follow His instruction. Now, that's important in several areas. First, when it comes to the organization of the church, when you look at how a local church is organized, it needs to be according to the pattern. God has given a specific pattern. Well, what is that pattern? Well, if you take your Bible in the book of Acts in the 20th chapter, you'll find that a local church is to have elders. They're to have men who are qualified to oversee the flock. In your Bible in the book of Acts and the 20th chapter, look at what Paul said in verse 28. As he's speaking to the elders at Ephesus, he said, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Underscore that. Overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Do you recognize that God has given elders a specific role? Elders are to oversee the souls of the people. They are to oversee the souls of the people here at Eastside. Now, we're blessed to have four men serve as elders and overseers, shepherds, bishops, pastors, whatever you want to use there. That's a scriptural term. And they are overseeing your soul. Now, many times what happens is we want to give them the business and of running the local church and talk about parking lots and carpet. And I understand those things can be important. But the most important job that an elder has is to see the soul of an individual. They're watching over the flock. They're making sure false doctrine doesn't come into this congregation. They're making sure that discord's not sown amongst the brethren. That's according to the pattern God has given. That oversight is given to men who are qualified. Now in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1, you see the qualifications given. And there's certain qualifications that must be met. You wouldn't want an individual to oversee your soul if they can't even take care of themselves. And thus Paul gives the qualifications of men who serve as overseers. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the Philippian letter and the first chapter. And when you come to the Philippian letter and the first chapter, notice with me a second office. In Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops, that's overseers, presbyters, that's pastors, that's elders, all the same word, all synonyms. I'm not a pastor, I'm the preacher. So an overseer or a bishop is an elder. But notice the second part, and deacons. Now deacons have certain qualifications. And we read about those also in 1 Timothy 3. And I want us to recognize that deacons have a work. They are to oversee the work that the elders have given them in the local congregation. So we have elders, we have deacons. And then I need to understand, when it comes to the organization of the church, their oversight of the elders and the work of the deacons are limited to this congregation. I've had some people say, well, what are you going to do about the congregation across town? Nothing. Because that's not part of our work. We are concerned about the work at Esau. I'll never forget one time an individual called. And they wanted to know about a certain problem we were having. And you know what I told the fellow? I said, that's our business and we'll tend to it. Sometimes people want to stick their nose in other people's business. The work at Eastside belongs at Eastside. And we don't belong to any other congregation and their oversight. We have our own oversight. That's the pattern God has left us. And now we couldn't have just one elder. You can't have just one overseer. You can't have a conference. God has given us the pattern. But then I want you to think about something else. When it comes to the name, why are we called what we're called? The pattern of God calls for a name for His people. Well, as an individual, what am I called? I hope when someone says, where do you go to church? I hope you don't say, I'm a church of Christer. I hope you don't. Please tell me you don't do that. Because what you've done is just made it a denomination. That's not what you are. What you are is a Christian. You wear the name of Christ. And you know how I know that? I see it in Acts 11:26. They were first called Christians at Antioch. I see it in 1 Peter 4:16. If anyone suffers as a Christian, that's what I am. I belong to Christ. Now, as a body, we come together as the church of the Lord. And now I remember in Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. What's that mean? The church is the people. It's not the organization. It's not the building. When we come together as a collectivity, we are the church at Esau. But we are the church that what? Belongs to Christ. The church of belonging to Christ. And I need to understand tonight that I have a pattern for the name I wear. I don't want to wear a man-made name. I want to wear the name God has given me. I want to say that I'm a Christian and nothing more. Wouldn't that be wonderful tonight? Wouldn't that remove a lot of confusion in religion if we just went back to the pattern? If we just went back to what God has left us? And if we took away all the man-made ideas, we could be simply Christian. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of John in the 4th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 4th chapter, I want us to consider that we need to worship according to the pattern. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Now then, I need to recognize that there's a pattern to worship. So I take my Bible and I want to see what that pattern is. What is it that God has specified about worship? Well, I read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. That here were individuals that understood the importance of worship. They followed the apostles' doctrine, not man-made doctrine. They didn't just come out here and say, what will attract the masses? That didn't matter. What mattered the most is that worship pleases God. So they said, let's go to the pattern. And they followed in the apostles' doctrine. Then what did they do? They partook of the Lord's Supper together. They had prayer together. Have you ever thought of the importance of taking the Lord's Supper? What is the importance of prayer? The importance of studying together? You ever thought about the importance of the collection in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2? That on the first day of the week, they laid by in store as they were prospered. Why did they do that? Because it was the pattern given to them. They did not come up with, let's have a pie supper. They didn't say, let's have a rummage sale. They didn't say, let's have a raffle, and if you win, you get a date with the preacher. That'd be one way to lose money here. But I'll tell you what they did. They said, let's follow the pattern God has given. But then I want you to think about something. Think about the fact they sing praises to God. I can read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 that I'm to sing and to make melody in my heart to the Lord. That my praise comes from the heart. And Hebrews 13:15 talks about the fruit of the lips. It doesn't talk about the organ. It doesn't talk about the banjo. It doesn't talk about the drums. It says that God wants the heart of man. Now, I can go back to the pattern. I can see what God has said. I can put my finger on the passage. I can say, there it is. That's His instruction. Now, you may say, but preacher, I really like to listen to the banjo. Well, I tell you what, when you go home, listen to the banjo. But when we come together as the people of God, and when we come and want to worship according to the pattern, we have to be able to say, this is what God has said. But then I want to tell you something else. Our lives need to be according to the pattern. In order to follow the pattern, we must make our lives in accordance to it. Open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. And when you come to 2 Peter chapter 1, notice with me, if you will, what Peter had to say, beginning at verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now look at what he said. You need to add certain things. And why? You want to follow the pattern. And he said, you continue to grow. Now, I want to raise a question tonight. Who in here has perfected all of these things he said to add to your faith? If anyone raised your hand, I'd have some questions for you. Because I believe we all can continue to grow. But he said, you add to this. And then he says in verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. I tell you what we need to do. We need to deny ungodliness, deny the old man, and live according to the pattern. That's what he tells us in Titus chapter 2. When Paul was writing to the young evangelist Titus, what did he tell him in Titus 2 and about verse 12? He said in verse 12 that the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. What's that? That's the pattern. That's the instruction. That's what God has given us to walk by and to live by. But that brings up another thought. And this is going to be aimed directly at me. Preaching needs to be done by the pattern. When it comes to preaching, we must still follow the pattern. And you know what that means? That means sometimes people aren't going to like it. Have you ever thought when John the Baptist went to Herod and he told Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife, Herod put him in prison. Have you ever thought that there's going to be times people don't like the message? Why? They don't want to appreciate God's pattern. They would go contrary to the pattern. Paul condemned division. And I'm sure when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he said in 1 Corinthians 1, be of the same mind. There were many that weren't interested in being of the same mind. They liked the conflict. But he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 10, that is exactly what we're to do. He said, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Are we following the pattern? Are we coming together and preaching the Word of God? I've often thought about, my friend, that we as preachers need to point out error and sin and anything contrary to the pattern, because there are many who are leaving the pattern, and some are afraid to condemn sin, and they're afraid to point out religious error, and they're afraid to point out people are leaving the pattern. But I'll tell you, if a preacher doesn't point it out, he needs to give up preaching. Because if all we want to do is make people feel good about their sin, that's not preaching. I'll tell you what that is. That's pop psychology. And you don't need me. You can watch Dr. Phil to make you feel good about whatever life you want to live. And you can turn on television and somebody can tell you, well, that's just the way you are. Have you ever noticed that may be how you are, but the gospel says you need to follow the pattern. You know what that means? You change. Too long ago, I had a man, he was just getting mad, and he just popped off, and he said, I'm sorry, Mike. He said, that's just the way I am. You can't excuse him by saying that's the way you are. What you have to do is change and follow the pattern God has given. Is that easy? No, sir. Sometimes I pop off and I have to turn around and say, I'm sorry. But I realize the pattern. One last thing in the lesson here. When it comes to the plan of salvation, I have to go according to the pattern. Think of the seriousness. Think of how serious that is. Suppose we use the wrong pattern. Think what would happen. You'd be lost. Suppose the man telling me about the plan refuses to follow the pattern. There are people all over Shelville, Tennessee that refuse to follow the pattern of God. But I can read the pattern. I can open my Bible and see in the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:37 when they said, what shall we do? Notice Peter didn't say, well, just say a prayer. And Peter didn't just say, well, you do what you want to do. It doesn't matter to me. No, Peter said you need to repent and be baptized. I read in Acts chapter 8 where Philip came before the eunuch. And the eunuch was told the pattern. And he was immersed into Christ. I want us to understand we can't use our feelings. We can't use our parents. We can't use any man-made idea to say that's the pattern. I've had people come to me. And they understand the pattern's different than what their parents believed. And they say, I can't go contrary to my parents. I want to tell you something. You making your life right with God isn't judging your parents. Your parents are going to stand before God by themselves, just as you are. And because I obey God doesn't mean I condemn anyone. I don't have the power to condemn. Only God can condemn. But I'll tell you what I can do. Regardless of whether my parents are right or wrong, whether my spouse is right or wrong, whether my children are right or wrong, I can say, as for me, I'll follow the path. There's a little lady over in Charlotte, Tennessee. For years and years and years and years, she's went to services by herself because her husband wouldn't obey the gospel. She never used him as an excuse. She never used that as a way of saying, well, I don't want to condemn him. She said, as for me, I know the pattern. I'm going to follow. Because look at what happens to people who fail to obey the pattern. In Leviticus chapter 10, when Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire, when they brought in fire that they weren't supposed to use upon the altar, what did God do? God destroyed them. You remember when Lot and his wife were told to leave Sodom and Gomorrah and they were told not to look back? When she violated the pattern and looked back, what did God do? God struck her dead and turned her to a pillar of salt. And what I need to recognize tonight is the seriousness of taking the pattern and following. Because I'll tell you something. We're not messing up a train track by not following the pattern when it comes to God's word. We're not trying to make pieces fit that won't fit and just say, well, that's close enough. Because I'll tell you what's involved is eternity. And I need to follow the pattern God has given. Now, I recognize some churches don't have elders. And they have to be, they can be scripturally unorganized. But I'll tell you what I think local churches need to do. Try to get them. I recognize that in my own life I can fail and fall short. But I'll tell you what I need to do. I need to go back to the pattern. And wherever I'm falling short with the pattern, I need to remember the pattern's right. And I need to conform my life to the pattern and not try to change the pattern to conform to my life. Follow the pattern God has given. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized, I pray that you'd want to follow the pattern God has given and become a child of God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins and be added to the family of God and be what God would have you to be. So that we can all be united when this life is over. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come. It's together.